Psalm 63 relates to me to all of this, and it's a wonderful psalm. It has a familiar ring to it, because when we look so often, as Pastor Don and Mike have done, we start turning to the psalms, and we see that there's often a familiar theme, and that is that David is in the midst of trials. He's in the midst of problems and sufferings, etc. But by the end of the psalm, he is saying, God, you're good, and you're going to bring me through. How many of you, your life is one big psalm? Amen. I know for me it's that way many times, and I'm sure for all of us. But like Job, like Elijah, like Jeremiah, they share passions like we do tonight. Like all of the prophets, I love Habakkuk, and you come to the end of Habakkuk, and that back and forth with God, and then in the end, he says, I don't care if the fig tree fails to blossom, there's no fruit on the vine still, I will praise the Lord. He is a sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the high places. You start low and you end high. And many times that can happen in a single day with the Lord, or can happen over a season of our life with the Lord. But Psalm 63, I think, puts it so well. And I've come back to the NIV 84 version just because I memorized it years ago, and it's been dear to me, and I like the way that it reads it. So if you look to the screen, or if you have the NIV before you, and I'm sorry, you probably don't. But, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Amen. The title and the first verse gets us in the context. We're there. If you have your Bible there, the title says, A Psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah, when he was in the wilderness. Verse number one, again, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. He's in a dry place. Have you ever been there? Emotionally dry, spiritually dry, physically dry. You know, we're complex people, aren't we? The physical so often, it relates to the spiritual. Pastor Mike's not here tonight because this morning he began to feel ill during the service, and then he texted me this afternoon and said, I am just sick, so we need to pray for Pastor Mike. But how many of you know, many times when you're physically drained or ill, it impacts you spiritually. And of course, emotionally, of course it does. And don't feel guilty about it. God understands that. But many times there is that correlation, because we're very complex. And in this, I find it interesting. You have the physical and you have the spiritual. He is in a dry and weary land where there is no water. But yet as you read, and as he interweaves his own spiritual life into it, he says, my soul is thirsting in this dry and weary land. So there's a spiritual aspect to where he's at physically. And he uses the word there that it is an exhausted land, or a faint, a tired land, a dry and a weary land. That word weary, it just doesn't really relate, does it, to the earth? Although we can kind of think of it that way, as a desert, I suppose. But clearly, it's that he's the one. It's a condition of David, that he's in a dry and a weary land where there's no water, and yet it's a spiritual thing. Why? Because his soul is thirsting for the Lord. And knowing David's life, we're not for sure when this was. He mentions the king, so I suppose it would be maybe in his time as king of Israel. It could be before, knowing he was anointed king years before, and then now he's out with his band of that crazy little army that he had, and Saul maybe after him, and he's out running in the desert. We don't know, but when he mentions, though, that I have seen you in the sanctuary, that kind of makes me think this could be later in David's life, that he is reflecting as the king, enjoying those times in God's presence at the sanctuary. But we don't know. All we know is that David opens up with beautiful words. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Tonight, what I'd like us just to consider very simply are five quick points here of what helps us in our dry times. What helps us in our times that we feel physically or spiritually, emotionally, relationally, it can be any aspects of our lives that we are in a dryness. We are in a desert time. David gives us a primer, I think, for this. And where does he go immediately? But if you look there, verse 2 and 3, I have seen you in the sanctuary. So picture David out in the desert. Picture him where it's dry. I know what desert's like. And until it's blooming, it's not the prettiest thing on earth. So picture him out there in the desert. But what's the very first thing he does? Verse 2. I have seen you, Lord, in the sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. First thing to do when you're really in a dry spot is go back and remember the times when God was sweet to you. The times when it was good. Go back and think of the times when he touched your life, when he placed his hand upon you. David is out in that wilderness, but that tabernacle or that sanctuary, it's back there in Jerusalem. I can go back to times in my life as a little child, and I felt God's touch. And I'm so thankful for that. And that has a lot to do with faithful parents that brought me to church, and my dad is a pastor, but I'm thankful that he remained a faithful pastor. I can go back to age 5 and 6, and there were special moments. I felt God. You believe a 5-year-old can feel God? Absolutely. And I knew it. Oh, I've told that story as a 7-year-old standing in that roadside a few weeks ago. I told that story and my mom praying that prayer and immediately God answering that prayer. And I stood there and I, in my little 7-year-old mind, I shuddered to think God can answer prayer that quickly. 10 years of age when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll never forget that night. That Sunday night, I was home with a fever, and mom just said, well, Jeff, I'll take you home, and took me from church and lays me in bed. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit sick. How many know that doesn't work in a lot of theologies? It worked in mine. I was raging in a fever, but I was filled with the Holy Spirit for a half hour laid in that bed, praying in tongues. My teen years of camp. How many of you can remember times in your life that God was so sweet to you? At Phoenix First Assembly, I had my own place that I would go to. Don't tell anyone this, all right? Because I ran up massive electric bills, and no one knew about it. I'm just kidding. You can tell them. You can call the office tomorrow. But I'd go into this room, and I would just crank on that fan, and I would just let it go. And I would spend lengthy times, many times as a youth pastor in prayer. And it's a room that I could block off with a real heavy curtain. It was called the chapel, and it was just a small room. It maybe sat 100 people or so maximum. But I'd close it with that big, heavy curtain, and I'd just leave all the lights off, and I would just walk in the emptiness of that room, and I would pray, and I would seek God. And there were times there that were dry as can be, and there were other times that God met me as a 25-year-old youth pastor, a 27-year-old college pastor there. God met me at times, and I remember those times, and at times when I'm dry now, I can go back and remember that same God is with me right now that was with me then. And how many know, for me, 25 years of age is a long time ago, all right? But that's what we need to do. Remember what God has done in your life. Look back at times. When it gets dry, go back to when the water was flowing well, when you could just know God's presence in such a special way in your life. Second thing David does is he offers up his praise to God in song, but in action. Look at verse 4 and 5. I will praise you as long as I live. How many of you know praise is a choice? It is a decision. It's an act of your will to praise God. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I know there may be some here tonight, you have a hard time doing that, and I'll respect that and leave that between you and God. But you know, the Word of God tells us, lift up holy hands in praise. And there are 7 Hebrew words for the word praise, and at least 3 of them have to do with extending your hands heavenward. It is just a healthy thing for you to do. And I'd encourage you, try it then. Do it in the shower tomorrow when no one's there, just you and God, all right? Amen. Let's move on. But do it at a time when no one knows what you're, just between you and God then. But oh, I'd love to see you break free. And every time we're in worship here, just shut your eyes. Don't worry about people around you. That's what David says. It's an active praise that he says. He says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, and my singing, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And of course, this is David. David is a worshiper. He's a psalmist. He's a psalter. He's a man that wrote incredible lyrics and beautiful music with his harp that would bring that tormenting spirit. It would take it away from King Saul. So this is David, and it's just natural for David. But I like that he articulates it. He says, I will lift up my hands to you, God, and with these lips of mine, I will sing praise to you. And it's continual. As long as I live, I will. And notice what he says. It feeds his soul. When you hit dry times, your soul can be fed as you praise God. You yourself, you using your own lips, your own hands, your own heart, not relying on anybody else, but when it's really dry, just getting alone and saying, God, you are my God. It's good that he's our God, but oh, it's good sometimes when he's my God, when he's your God. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, since you've been raised with Christ, do what? Set your hearts on things above. I think King James, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, right? Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Worship does this. Singing does this. I just recently pulled out the hymnal that I have at home. And I hadn't kept it there with my Bible and my devotional and where I just kind of have my time with the Lord. But I went ahead and pulled out the hymnal. Now, that makes some of you want to get up, shout, and rejoice, doesn't it, tonight? But I grew up with that hymnal, and I love the hymn. Oh, I love that last hymn that we just sang. But I pulled it out because I thought, you know, some mornings I'm just going to sing out of the hymnal to the Lord. And it's brought some really refreshing times. But you know what? David says, I'll bring a new song to the Lord. So both the old and the new, it's all God's. And we need to enjoy all of it. Worship does that. It feeds your soul. This continuous praise, it's like filet mignon, he says, huh? To my soul. It's the richest of foods. How about a filet with butter on it? Could hear any man tonight. That to me is the richest there is. But that's what his soul is feasting on. Why? Because he's praising the Lord. And it's continuous. Look at verse 6. On my bed I remember you, and I think of you through the watches of the night. I'll be candid with you tonight. I have had sleep issues for years, and a few of you know that, but it's been a long time. Started in my late 30s, and it just seemed like all of a sudden my clock started, and I really have had some issues through the years. So I've spent a lot of watches of the night awake, and I really have spent a lot of time with the Lord that through the watches of the night that they're okay, though I really want rest because I know the next day is going to be a longer day because when I don't get a good night's sleep, thankfully I seem to be doing better now. But you know, in the watches of the night, it's an okay thing to wake up and just talk to God and reflect upon. And that's what he says here. I'm going to keep my thoughts continuously on you. All day long I'll praise you, and in the watches of the night even. So a third thing is to continuously keep your mind on the Lord. So even if you wake up in that night, you think about the Lord. You might get up and spend a little time with the Lord. That's what David says he does. And this can be so tough. But what we're really looking at here is a discipline. It's a regiment of our life that we discipline ourselves to think about the Lord all the time and to praise him all the time. It's kind of like our texting message a few weeks ago. And so we sent out those text messages. How many of you were really into that week and you received the text messages? Let me see your hand. Oh, I'm glad you did that. And I hope it reminded you, because at 9 o'clock and noon and 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock, that text message somewhere about that time was hitting your phone to remind you to do what? To pray. And we gave you something to pray about. But it was hopefully in that week for you to realize, you know, I can pray during the day, not just at the start of my day and the end of my day. And for those of you that are in work all day long, I hope it reminded you that you can, along the way, you can pray, but as well, you can pray during the watches of the night. I get on my knees every morning before I get out of bed. I just drop to my knees. Usually spend a little bit of time. I've mentioned that many a time. You know why I do that? It's for your sake. I encourage you to start doing it. I've been doing it so many years now, I'll never stop doing it. And it's just a nice way to start your day. Might only be a few minutes. Sometimes it's longer than that. I might pray in the Spirit. I pray the Lord's Prayer many a times. Here late, I've been doing that a lot. I'll pray the prayer, the common book of prayer many times. Start my day, merciful Father, I confess that I've sinned, cannot free myself. I just start right off with repentance. I figure I've sinned somehow during the night. I don't know. However you choose to do it. My father-in-law, Carmen, that I've mentioned, often to you 3x5 cards. Oh, those 3x5 cars. He drove with the 3x5 car. I do not recommend that today, but that's what Carmen did. And he meditated on the word. He was only a Christian for 7 years, and he memorized 1,000 verses of scripture. The reason I know Psalm 103 to heart, the reason I can quote Psalm 51, the reason I can quote Psalm 63 is because in that season, as a young man fresh out of CBC, I met an on fire 54-year-old man filled with the Holy Spirit with a passion for God, and he meditated on the Word of God, and it was discipline, and it fed his soul. I can't wait to see Carmen again one day. 7 years. Whatever you can do to remind yourself of the goodness of God, especially in those dry times. Set your alarm, set your clock, do something, but just press into where you are continuously praising the Lord and spending time with him, even in the watches of the night. Fourth thing to do is to know that God is there for you. And this is hard, because when it gets dry, I understand, we've all been there, but when it's really bone dry, spiritually, it's hard to imagine that God is there. But how many of you know God never leaves you? He did not leave Job. Even when Job sat there and took out that pottery and scratched those sores, even when those three crazy comforters of Job were more like a pain for the poor guy much of the time, and they accused him all of that time, where was God? God was there. And that's the point of the video tonight, is that God was there. God did not leave Job alone, but many times in our lives we feel maybe that we are alone. Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? He's there. Pastor Don walked us through beautifully the 139th Psalm, that the Lord never leaves us. And aren't you thankful that he's before you, and he's behind you, and he's all around you? I have that St. Patrick's prayer, the breastplate prayer, that he would pray every morning. It's from the 5th or 6th century, and it's on my iPad. Some mornings I just pull it out, and I'll just pray through St. Patrick's prayer. But he begins to get into that where Christ is ahead of me and Christ is behind me. Christ is before me. He is beside me. He's beneath me. He's above me. And it's just taking Psalm 139 and confessing that over your life. When things get dry, could I encourage you, remember God is there. That's what David does. Look at verse 7 and 8. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Wow. Think of the shift we've gone from. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. You can almost feel the parchedness of his words and his soul. He's reaching out to God. But then we come here to verse 7. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Look at the pictures here. Now, we have a good writer here. We have a psalmist. He's an incredible giver of song. But look at the imagery. The shadow of your wings. So there's David underneath the wings in the shadow of God. You could picture God just extending his angelic beams over David, and there's a shadow that's cast. And David says, I just sit in that shadow, even in the midst of this dryness, and I sing to you, God. Your right hand is upholding me. My soul, picture it, my soul is clinging to you, God, in the midst of this dryness. Verse 9. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Last thing, speak faith-filled words. Now hear me tonight, and if you know me at all theologically, you know I am not talking a name and claim it kind of theology. I'm not talking metaphysical stuff here. I'm not talking Scientology. But what I am is doing this. I'm acknowledging that there are times in our lives that we need to proclaim what we know to be true about God in the past and believe that it's true for God in our present and in our future. That is an okay thing to do. It's not a matter of just speaking words of faith and knocking everything out of your way. Because you know what? Many times I've seen plenty of faith people go through even greater trials, and they can't figure out what's wrong with their faith. It's not our faith. It's that God has not left you. You're just going through a desert period. But what David does, he speaks faith-filled words. So again, let me mention five things here. Reflect on God's goodness. Go back in your past. Second, praise Him with all of your heart and do it actively. Lift up your hands. Use your lips. Give God praise. Discipline your mind. Set your mind. Have a regimen in your life during times of dryness. Even in the watches of the night, remember and think about God. Remember that He never leaves you, that He's with you always. And then speak words of faith. Speak faith-filled words. I mentioned this morning how close, but verse 3 captured me. It was this morning early. In my quiet time with the Lord, this morning, because your love is better than life. And I thought about Jeff and Rhonda. I can't imagine what they're going through as their son has been taken. But you know what? God's love is better than life. And life means everything, as I said this morning. I mean life. What's greater to us than life? We hold to life. We cling to life. We celebrate life. Life is a gift, absolutely. But you know what? The love of God is better than life itself, is what David says. And that is what holds us at that hour that we leave this life and we cross into that life. As the pottery is shattered, right? As Ecclesiastes says, that last moment of our lives, we will enter into love. And friends, hear me, His love is better than life itself. And that's all I think Jeff and Rhonda can hang on to. And that's all my Aunt Pat can hang on to. And that's all my dear friend Jim can hang on to. Because in the last about 12 days, three dear people that I know well have had major loss in their life. But God's with them. And His love is better than life. Amen. Would you shut your eyes with me? And I'd like to sing just a cappella. A simple little song that I think most of us here will know, and it's showing my age and your age, but the great Andre Crouch wrote just a simple little song. And could we sing it in reflection of God's goodness, and yet also right now in faith, believing Him, He's going to bring you through. If you're here tonight and it's a dry time, we're going to open up these altars and just invite you to come and kneel in just a moment. But could we sing this song? Would you sing it with me? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Why don't we lift it up a little bit? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Let's stand together. And would you take, if you have your Bible tonight, would you take it and would you just lift it with me? And could we sing it again? And let's sing it in faith. And if you are in a tough time right now, a dry spell, would you right now just begin to praise the Lord as we sing it? Believe in Him for today. Believe in Him for tomorrow. You may feel a little bit like Job tonight and say, it's not that severe, but it's difficult, Jeff. Then why don't you sing it in faith tonight that you're depending upon the Word of God as David did, as Job did. We will tonight. Amen. Let's sing it again. For through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Amen. 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 And Andre said that I've learned to trust Him in the mountains and in the valleys. Remember that verse as he goes into it? Amen. Lord, thank You for Psalm 63. David gives us a great roadmap, Lord, just in those few 11 verses. God, He gives us a great roadmap of when times are dry. So, Lord, I pray right now as we come to kneel at these altars, or wherever we go to pray right now, Lord, I pray that you will meet us, oh God. May we spend time in your sweet presence now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's end this Sunday on our knees if you're able to. If not, just right where you're at, just to build an altar in your pew is fine if you just need to sit in his presence. But let's spend some time with the Lord before we go tonight. Thank you, Lord.